Welcome to the Homeworkies podcast, to a new kind of pilot we're trying out for a new series. We'll see if you guys like it, and you'll have to let us know. But this is a new podcast that we're starting called The Frandcast, where we're going to be talking about The Nanny, and which is a show that I love. And I can't wait till we see if you guys like this, and hopefully you do, because we can talk about it a lot. I'm film critic Rachel Wagner, and I have two co-hosts with me today. My friend Larry's here.
Hi. Yes. Thanks for having me back.
Yes, and if you missed it, Larry was on our little tribute recap special bonus episode we did of The Golden Girls.
Yes. So for somebody who on social media just doesn't go on about TV, I love to be on here talking about certain TV, and The Golden Girls and The Nanny are right up my alley.
See, that's why we get along well. We get along very well.
Yeah.
but also, our patron of the podcast and good friend Colleen is here.
Hello. Hi, everybody. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, so this is going to be really fun. And so let's talk about sort of The Nanny. Just starting off, kind of, was it a show that you watched while it was airing? I know you are a young one, Larry. You're a lot younger than I am, or Colleen, I believe.
So older than you, Rachel, probably. I think by a few years.
So. Yeah. So did you watch it like a Nick at Night or?
Yeah. Yeah. I watched it on Nick at Night.
No shame. You discovered great TV that way.
Yeah.
I mean, I could have just, I guess, jumped in late into later seasons, but no, I mean, I probably did. I can't remember exactly where I started the show on, but it was definitely a Nick at Night discovery.
Yeah. What about you, Colleen? Were you?
We used to watch it live. What years did it air? I don't even remember.
It was 1993 to 1999.
Oh yeah, I was still living at home with my my dad, and I used to watch it. So we used to get a kick out of it. So that was kind of I was a live watcher. I think it was on Monday nights. I'm pretty sure. And then I definitely watched the rerun of Nick at Night. So it's been in my life all that time.
I think I watched it a little bit in the later seasons, actually, because my family, we actually didn't watch hardly any TV growing up. My parents are just not TV, really media people at all. Like, they hardly ever watch movies. They don't watch television at all.
And then there's Rachel.
Except for sports. That's awesome, Rachel. Yeah. I mean, the fact I got my dad to come on two episodes of the podcast recapping the mysteries is like a phenomenal feat, because they just don't watch television except for sports. My dad is sports.
I got to meet Rachel's parents, and that was the bulk of our conversation was talking about the NBA particularly. Yes.
Which I've had periods in my life where I followed sports more than other, particularly like when I was in college, I followed the college sports.
Yeah.
Like, at least enough. But ever since I don't know, the last probably decade, I've like not followed it at all. I've just been too busy. And so I don't know anything about sports now, but anyway, so yeah, that's that's a funny thing about my family. So I actually didn't, I mean, teasing Larry, but I didn't watch it from when it started. But I think I mostly discovered it also on Goodnight, and I just love this show so much. And I think, because a lot of people are, I think that Fran Drescher is a very divisive character, person. People either find her really annoying or people love her. And I think the thing that I love about her, which makes me a huge fan of hers, is she is just totally authentic. Mm-hmm. She is who she is. She doesn't try to be anybody else. And that's just so refreshing.
Yeah. I agree. It's because sometimes it can be, I mean, it's a trope of sitcoms, really, when you're the writer creator. Mm. Sometimes it can be a little bit annoying when you just name your characters after yourself. Yeah. And Fran is definitely one of those, even after The Nanny. But no, I agree that it works, because even as she, no matter what Fran Drescher is in, she's very authentic to who Fran Drescher is.
Yeah.
So, you know, I guess I've never really mind her kind of naming her characters Fran everywhere she goes, because I'm like, oh, well, you know, you're kind of just, you're being you. And I think that's why people tune into her shows. It makes me a little sad that she was never able to kind of like rekindle the magic of The Nanny with any of her other sitcoms or anything. But
yeah, her current one that's on right now.
Oh,
it's rough.
Yeah.
It's rough.
Oh, I haven't seen it, so I'll take your word.
And it's sad because it has like a pretty good cast, and oh, it's just it feels so outdated. I don't know. It's not good. I would be shocked if it gets picked up for season two. But yeah, I know. I guess the only thing I can sort of think of is that it's kind of a hard, I think a lot of times it'd be like fitting a square peg into a round hole. You know, mm-hmm. It's like such a specific thing and it's just not going to fit with everything. and they just captured lightning in a bottle with this, and it works so well. But I think that's why, just as a personality, I think that's why I like Fran just so much. I just think she just is who she is, and even down to like her laugh, she doesn't try to change her laugh. That's who she is, and some people might find that annoying, but she doesn't care. I don't know. What do you think, Colleen?
I agree with you. She's authentic. I can't think of another person quite like her that I've seen in my era of television since I've been around. I'm trying to think of anyone who was so in your face, but like, usually I don't care for those kind of characters.
Yeah.
But she just was so enjoyable. She just made me laugh. And I think it was like playing next to like British, very debonair person was just a nice, they played really well off each other. I will talk about that, I'm sure. Yeah. But it was just refreshing. And she just cracked me up. So I just get a kick out of her.
I tell you one thing, I am really surprised that they never have been able to get her on Dancing with the Stars. She seems like such a perfect person for that show to me.
Yeah. That would be her.
Yeah.
I'm pretty shocked too. You would think it, you know, she wouldn't be too hard to get onto a show like that.
But I guess they're actually like working on a Broadway musical of The Nanny, which I think that actually has huge potential to be really fun. Because
especially with all these other properties that they've done. This one seems like a pretty fun fit.
Well, and he's a Broadway producer.
Right.
Will fulfill this.
Oh my gosh. If they bring out like a cat every now and then, like they obviously have to incorporate Andrew Lloyd Webber into the Broadway musical. Some way, somehow, making fun of it without getting copyrighted. But like, you know, just like a cat popping out of the side and they like push him off the stage or something. I don't know. Yeah. But yeah.
That would be really funny. And so, yeah, let's talk a little bit about the overall casting, because of course you have Fran playing Fran, and yes, they got Charles Shaughnessy, who had been in soap operas before, and I think that he, like you said, Colleen, he and Fran have such a lovely chemistry between the two, and there's just such a classic romantic comedy feel to what is happening from the very beginning. The opposites, kind of the opposites attract, but they need each other. We'll talk about that more with the pilot. But I think it was such a great casting for him.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Yeah.
I think it's great.
Yeah. And I love his gray streak so much in his hair.
Yes.
I'm so glad they never dyed it. Because it's so sexy to me.
Yeah, he was great casting.
He's a nice looking guy. Yeah.
And he's just so like charming. I mean, I guess you could kind of see the soap opera influence, but he's just like a great love interest for her.
Yeah.
Yes. And so then they had Daniel Davis, who played Niles.
Oh, perfect.
And he was great. And you know that he is not British.
Oh.
Really?
Yeah, he's from Arkansas.
No way.
Yeah.
Best British accent ever.
That was
from
great.
An American actor.
I love it. That's perfect.
But they were saying in some of the things I was reading that people would complain about Charles Shaughnessy's accent. And why can't he be more like that? They were all like, wow.
That's funny.
And then you have Lauren Lane, who played Cece. And they have such a nice chemistry. Her and Cece and Niles have such a like hilarious dynamic between the two of them. And I don't like it in the later seasons when they like make them a couple. I hate that.
You didn't feel that was a natural progression?
No.
Years of bickering and jabs?
No, I did not.
So now that you bring it up, because at the time I didn't really think much of it, but now that I'm older and apparently wiser, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
It does feel kind of forced. Like it almost feels like a Moonlighting kind of thing, but not quite as crazy. But you know, it doesn't work. Me.
Yeah, like that's the opposite tracks that pushes it too far for me.
Yeah,
like Fran and Maxwell always kind of understood each other and respected each other, and whereas I feel like I don't know, it's too much, it's too far. They're too mean to each other for too long. Right.
I think they went through the problem that a lot of shows centered around like a central love story have. Is when, you know, inevitably Fran and Maxwell do get together. It left a little bit of a void of like, oh, okay, this is like a big part of our show. So then it kind of shifted to be like, okay, Cece and Niles,
right.
Babcock and Niles, and you know, so.
Yeah, it's kind of like having a baby always ruins almost every show.
Yeah, you're right.
It's true.
Dang babies.
About some other casting we'll talk about as we talk about the pilot, but I do feel like that the kids are not the best. I don't think that they're any of them are particularly good actors.
No.
And that's probably the weakness of the show, is they're not the best. Sorry. Do you agree, Larry, or no?
Yeah, I definitely think so. I think, I don't know if you just get used to them or what happens, you know, and they get older, so you know, maybe they're able to better. I think they get better as we move along, but yes, especially these earlier episodes. I was actually taken a little off guard. We'll talk about it when we get into the episode. Mm-hmm. I kind of forgot where we started with these kids, but yeah.
Right.
Like, the writing is good. Mm-hmm. And so it's fine. Like they work fine. But the acting, like they're saved by the writing.
Yes.
And they're kids. You can't be too hard on kid actors. But as opposed to like a show like The Middle, where in my opinion, that show had such brilliant kid casting.
Every
especially with this year. She is the best as Suak. And there's other examples where just the child actors were so good.
The Modern Family kids are pretty good, I think.
Yeah. The Modern Family, I think the one that's Sofia Vergara's kid.
Manny?
I don't think he's very good. But I think they're the rest.
I got a kick out of the daughters. And
yeah, I agree with you about the daughters.
Yeah.
But again, they're kids. You can't be too mean. Like, you can't be a horrible person. But anyway, so do you feel like, because I know pilots are kind of tricky because you have to set up a lot and there's a lot of things that can sometimes change. Larry, do you think that overall this is a pretty good pilot, or what do you
think? Yeah, I think it definitely, it sets up the storyline well, and it gives you a really good like flavor of just the straight up tone that this show keeps pretty consistently. Obviously it kind of gets, again, it gets a little bit of a hit in the later seasons because, you know, they have to go a little bit more dramatic, going to islands and getting shipwrecked and stuff like that. But after they get married, but overall, you know, it keeps this tone for a long time. So you know what you're in for. I think it does a quick but effective setup of each and every one of the characters as well. So it doesn't have, you don't have to get big backstories for everybody, but you understand pretty much every single person that plays a main role in the cast. So I think it's a really good pilot.
Mm-hmm. What do you think, Colleen?
I agree with that. And I also like that they made the theme song kind of go. They told the story to go with the theme song, which I kind of like, get a kick out of, you know, which is not what you hear. Unless you're like the Brady Bunch, you don't really hear that very much, you know, the story of the show that they could tell in a few lines of song. It kind of happened in the pilot. So it was, and it also just, they just brought Fran out front and center right at the very beginning. You knew she was going to be in your face, and boom, and it works. You know, it just gives you a flavor. I mean,
well, they really do literally tell the story of the theme song when she's the lady in red when everyone else is wearing
right,
like literally she wears red at the party.
Right.
And I love that theme song. I think it is, I mean, it's really catchy. Of course, I love the animation, the intro. I think that is all really well done. I would say it's one of the more iconic intros and themes in television, I would say. I would say it's a discussion.
Yeah, I think it's definitely one of, you can always tell pretty quick when they don't have to change the theme, because so many sitcoms, you know, they kind of tweak it as we move on, and this is definitely one of those ones that just, from the very beginning all the way through, theme just stayed the same.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, and it's sung by, and written by a woman named Anne Hampton Calloway, who I guess Fran Drescher discovered at like a club or something like that. And so, that's one thing we should talk about, that like this show was a real like family production. I mean, it was produced and created and everything by Fran Drescher and her then husband, Peter Mark Jacobson, and she actually, I guess, got the idea for the show. She ended up sitting next to an executive of NBC on a plane, and she basically was like, "I want to pitch you a story. I want to pitch you something." Pitch you a pilot, and he was like, okay, I guess she convinced him. I guess it was CBS. Anyway, and then she went and stayed with the model Twiggy. I guess they knew each other from a previous show
that
they had done. Yeah, and I guess her family was kind of, Twiggy's family was kind of crazy and dramatic or whatever, and so she got the idea of having her play off with this British guy and get this whole story. And particularly there was, I guess, a shopping trip that she went with Twiggy and Twiggy's teenage daughter. So that's where she kind of got the idea of Queen's Logic's, as the sort of self-serving advice mode that she would, which she would be in. And then she went to Los Angeles, and she pitched it as basically The Sound of Music, but with Fran instead.
Oh.
And he says, instead of Julie Andrews, I come to the door. And so they had almost no casting changes the whole time they were doing it, because I guess it was a really family kind of set. And her parents on the show are named after her actual parents, and the three kids were named after the three kids that they, if her and Peter were going to have children, that was the three names they always wanted. So there's just a lot of family in this show, which is kind of cool.
Ow.
Oh, I did not know any of that. Wow.
Yeah. Ow. So, wow, so cool. the show, the pilot starts out with her working in this bridal salon, and you see her getting, I think one thing that helps with the show is that the jokes just keep coming. Like, they really don't give you much time without a joke. And from the very beginning, you know, you've got this bride, and you look almost virginal. Here's some crackers for your morning sickness. Like, yeah. They were just so jokes. And then she ends up getting her boyfriend that she's had for 3 years, ends up dumping her and firing her in the same thing. And so again, that's the start of the intro for Danny. Firing her, and that's, she had style, she had flair, she was there. And one of the things I think also that really works about the show is that obviously there's something that was like really missing in the Sheffield household, and as soon as Fran gets there, it's like she's there, you know, like she's just that piece that was that warmth, that mother kind of figure that was needed for that. And we get one of a really funny line as our introduction to Niles, and sees, it says, I can't wait to see what you will be mounting next. Niles. Yes. That was funny. And you see that Brighton, he's like faking his death, and it doesn't even faze Fran. And I love the fact that she's writing her resume out in lipstick. She's like, do you have a pen?
Yes.
That's really good. One of the things that's interesting is that the show did was it introduced a lot of America to basically like Jewish vernacular. And Fran was really open about that. And in this very pilot, she talks about his gorgeous tchotchkes.
Yeah. That's a great introduction too, because I think the audience is kind of like, huh? With Maxwell.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And so I think that was cool that, I don't think there had been a Jewish character that was certainly the lead of a show. Maybe there's things I'm missing, but with just how much she used all different kinds of Jewish words that would become kind of part of pop culture.
Yeah.
I think that's cool. Mm-hmm. And you also get when she first laughs and you see Mr. Sheffield kind of look at her like, what is that? I love that. I love that. I love Brighton says, I hate her. And she says, don't be hasty, Brighton. Mr. Sheffield says, don't be hasty, Brighton. And Fran says, yeah, I haven't even sung Climb Every Mountain yet. I don't know. Was it in this initial introduction between Fran and Mr. Sheffield, and getting hired and everything, was there a part that stood out for, was the part that stood out for you, Larry?
Yeah, so with this whole kind of intro for her into the house, I think, again, it's a really, it was a great setup of the Sheffield household, kind of like you said, yeah. of just that there was stuff missing, there was problems boiling under of a lack of a mother there, even before we really get the story of it all, or we get the lines about Gracie, or how much she looks like her mother moving forward with the older child, Maggie Margaret. Yeah. But you get that sense really quickly in there, and it's a fun interaction with Brighton as well, yeah. And you can feel a good chemistry right off the bat between the two characters of yeah. Mr. Sheffield and Fran. So mm-hmm. I think it's a fun introduction.
Yeah. Well, and it's just so obvious, especially Maggie is so in need of a mother. And when Fran is just immediately taken by her, you know, taken with her, and she says, you can't get color like that from a bottle. And I know that when you're not used to anybody kind of doting on you like that, it I think it means a special amount. That's like, wow, somebody actually thinks, especially when you're a 14-year-old girl, if somebody yeah. thinks you're pretty, like that means a lot.
Yeah, certainly.
Yeah.
Right.
Was there anything that stuck out to you, Colleen, in this?
Just to pick up on that part right there, like, I like that Fran just went with it and said something to her, like, she thought she was really pretty girl and didn't understand probably why she wouldn't think she was pretty. I mean, right from the get-go, she was trying to kind of pump her up and give her some self-esteem, which I really liked, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I agree about the chemistry. I thought it was like for the first scene, it was just mm-hmm. great yeah. between Maxwell and Fran. And the other thing that cracked me up is like he didn't even blink when she handed him that lipstick ring.
Yeah.
Present. He just was like, I thought he would be. You might think he might have been taken more aback by her, but he didn't. Yeah. Like, he just kind of took her in.
Like, crayon? No,
it was kind of nice. It was kind of cool. You know, it was very subtle compared to what it could have been.
It's true. She does seem like somebody that, like, say Niles might have hired.
Right.
And then kind of surprised as opposed to what happens. But I guess when you think about it, he, as a Broadway producer, he's probably somewhat used to eccentrics.
I think Fran does a great job of just exuding this confidence. So it's just, she's so nonchalantly confident about it as she hands over a resume written in lipstick and, you know, just kind of like takes to the house and kind of takes to it like she lives there already, that it makes a little bit of sense that you are getting convinced yourself as this woman just kind of like starts to own the place.
Yeah, yeah. And she's like, that's my mother in Queens.
Her just being mother. Taken aback too, like, what? No, yeah. I didn't write that. Like, let me see. No.
Yeah. When you get the real friendship between Niles and Fran, which is a fun dynamic throughout the show, from the beginning when she says, when she says she's 29, and he says, he says 29. And just don't start with me, Niles. And so I think that's I really like that. And so then the next scene that we get is her coming down in her bathrobe for breakfast. And I think that, again, this is another good example of her filling this void in that's of warmth and love and family that's needed in this household. And I just, there's a lot of funny lines in this scene, I think. You know, she's like, don't assume anything. I'm from Flushing. What do I know? and then she's like, from the, I love a good buffet.
And Niles just being like, you know, it's free, you can come back for more.
Don't
it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. And so then the kids say, oh, we're not invited to the party. She's like, no, we're going to go shopping. We're going to do that. And I love when they get to the store and Maggie's favorite color is beige.
I know.
Come on. Oh my gosh.
See, that's one of the things I had kind of forgotten about this opening episode was just how like kind of neurotic they made the kids. Just to, right. I mean, they set up their personalities and they keep that to an extent as we move forward. But of course, you know, it just, as we move forward, they kind of grow with Fran. But I was just like, whoa, I forgot. Especially Maggie. I was just like, oh my gosh, she's such a neurotic small child. You know, we make reference back to like therapy sessions and stuff throughout a good part of the show. Oh, Gracie, yeah. Throughout a good part of the show. But I was like, wow, I forgot just how like out there this little girl was to start the show.
Yeah, this one has no personality. This one has multiple personalities.
Yeah. And so it was just funny, like going back, because I think, you know, Maggie takes a little bit longer. She kind of stays in this reserved mode for a longer time than like we said, Gracie. Takes Fran as a mother figure and starts to come out of that like super out there personality that she has, you know, as a little girl who just lost her mother. You would understand. But yeah, I was like, oh my. I also forgot how far they leaned into, especially in that opening, like Mr. Fine being a bit reciprocal with Cece and her advances.
Yeah, that's true.
Because moving forward, they make it pretty clear that Cece is one-sidedly like kind of throwing herself at him.
Right.
But to start in this first episode, I was like, oh, he's a little bit reciprocal here. Right. Maybe he had been leading her on for some time.
Yeah, it's true, because he says that she's handsome and he gets the massage from her.
And like they kind of have like this playfully flirty banter of like, I'll be back or I'll see you, you know, kind of stuff throughout the party or throughout the episode as they're getting ready for the party. So that also sets up a fun dynamic with Miss Babcock and Fran, especially when she comes down in that dress. But yeah.
So also in this scene at the bridal salon, we get to meet Val.
Yes.
Val. And Val was played by Rachel Chagall. And another great casting, great chemistry between them. I totally buy that they're really good friends.
Right.
I think that was really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was great.
Yeah. Like, what a head of hair, and it's all his.
When you mentioned like how great it was for her to be like, oh, I'm from Flushing, don't assume anything. That's another thing. Obviously none of us are from New York. I'm not sure.
No, I'm not.
Okay.
I'm from Ohio.
I know you don't live there now, but I don't want to assume.
No, I'm originally from Ohio.
You know, so we're all from the West Coast, or have lived a good portion of our lives at this point on the West Coast. So this film just, or this movie, or movie, my God, you could tell that's all I talk about. this show quickly introduces and makes you understand just kind of like the New York borough atmosphere of like Flushing, of Queens, of, you know, upstate, all of that really quickly too. And you never feel like an outsider with these references. Like right off the bat, you kind of catch on and feel like you're part of the party too.
Yeah. And it's here that we get one of the most iconic lines of the whole show is when, in my opinion at least, when she says to Brighton, someday your father's going to be old and sick. And you're going to want him to live with her. It's such a good line and delivered so well. That it's, I love that line so much. And she says, who knew this job would be so demanding? Please. And Mal says, please, I'm exhausted. Just watching. Because it is exhausting, man. Dealing with even just having to help my mom with my younger siblings, and sometimes I think it's just a different experience when they're not your own kids, at least I think it is. I don't know, do you have kids, Colleen?
I do not. I am happily childless.
Yeah, me too. We all three.
So we all can't talk about that, yeah. I guess. We yeah. don't have firsthand experience.
No. Right. But it's exhausting. I mean, yeah. kids are exhausting. And so
I always say I love other people's kids. Right. You know, I can go home and they can stay there.
Yeah. I can load
especially
them
being a live-in nanny, like being, you know, like yeah. The amount that was expected of this household's nanny is like, ooh, all right, okay.
Yeah, I mean, it's really, even you think about, that's something, I mean, I guess in really fancy, really rich neighborhoods, maybe that's still done, but I feel like that's something, you think of like the Brady Bunch, you know, they had a live-in
yeah.
housekeeper. Like, it's just something that's, as far as suburbia, it's just not done
no
anymore.
I have a quick story, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
it has
please.
To sort of do with this. I've never been a nanny, but I worked for about a year, was it? So I was in Ohio at the time. I was in grad school, and my sister works at a local children's hospital and knew a physician, a single mom who needed, she used to have an au pair, which I'm sure you guys know what that is. Au pair yeah. is like a nanny. Don't they come from usually another country, I believe. Mm-hmm. Right? Is that right? And
I think so, also, like France.
Something like that. They come yeah. to US and they help out. It's a nanny, basically. So mm-hmm. it's called an au pair. And she, the girl was in middle school at a private school, but it wasn't a boarding school, but she lived at home, and the mom needed someone to come to the house like twice a week to spend the night in case she was called out for work, because she was a physician. So I would like go in, sleep at the house, had my own room, and go to work the next day, and I was in school at night. So I did that for about a year, and she would pay me. And I got to know the daughter. I never ever once had to really, maybe once, I had to actually watch her while her mother got called out overnight. But mm-hmm. it was just a safety net for her. But I thought she can afford that because she was a single mom. She didn't, you know, she had the one daughter. And it was an interesting experience for me. They were very nice people. They were nothing like the Sheffields or anyone else you see on TV. Very, you know, very average people. But the fact that I appreciated that she wanted to keep her daughter safe. Her daughter was too young to be alone at night,
yeah.
you know, overnight, all night. But mm-hmm. it was an interesting experience to see that kind of lifestyle versus what, you know, I never had that. I mean, yeah, I didn't yeah. need that in my life. That was an interesting thing to do.
What was that?
Help that mom out.
What was that movie, Larry, with Charlie's Throne? Where they get the au pair? The night nurse.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Oh my gosh. Tully.
Oh yeah. That movie that movie was brutal, but it's good. But it is woo. That they should show it to teenagers. They'll never want to have sex.
Yeah. It doesn't sugarcoat anything. No. It's like,
woo. Yeah. Mine was very rated G. We had nothing crazy happen in my experience.
Well, no, it just paints motherhood as
yeah.
really hard.
They can cut it off before the end, though. Like they don't need to yeah. the teenagers to watch the twist, but yeah, the everything ending. Before then. Yes.
Right. Yeah, the ending was a bummer, but
yeah,
anyway.
I'm glad we're on the same page. Two-thirds yeah. of the movie are so good and like a really good insight, and then the third act is like, yeah. Well, okay.
So we get to the party, and they're collecting all the checks, and Ivana Trump is like mentioned a couple times, which is sort of funny. And
I thought that was hilarious.
Yeah. Yeah. and so we get Fran's grand entrance. She's the lady in red. Everyone else is wearing tan, and she's got the sparkly red dress. She looks amazing, and that's one of the other kind of trademarks of the show, was that Fran Drescher would bring in designers, and particularly Todd Oldman was a favorite of hers, and he had just barely started becoming a name, and she wore tons of his clothes on the show. Yeah. And I mean, there's always, it's always kind of ridiculous that this, like, this nanny is these, you know, designer fashion dresses, but yeah, they always make kind of a funny excuse for, like here, that it's her cousin who's Miss Rhode Island in 1989.
Yeah.
And now it's like, that was a very good year.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, wouldn't you say that, Larry, that the fashion was a real standout?
Oh, yeah. The fashion is like a staple of the show, is getting to see, you know, just what kind of like amazing outfits Fran is just walking around in that day. And she usually would go through several in a single episode. You'd get like a lot of different looks. If there's an occasion, there's a look. If she, you know, if she's just walking around doing her job, she has like this really fabulous look. So certainly, yes, her fashion was part of what really made the nanny, along with her hair, everything, the whole look.
Well, and so then the kids come down, and I really like Grace. She says, do you like my party dress, Dad? 75%, Loman, 75% off. She'll never shop retail again.
Yes.
Which I thought was funny. And then you get the introduction of Maggie, and she looks beautiful and great. And I also love the line when Fran says to Cece, "Don't worry about me. I've been to my fair share of affairs. My Uncle Jack threw a weekend bar mitzvah with a Star Trek theme. They're still talking about it."
That's really good. Yeah.
And she says, what could possibly go wrong when you put a father together with his children? So again, that's bringing in some of that heart.
Yeah.
I think is what makes the show work. And that's when the Mr. Sheffield freaks out because he sees Maggie kissing. Right, which I have to say, I'm 14. Especially like to go from like whatever is happening at the party to like kissing in one party, like that is a lot, I feel like. Maybe I'm just very conservative. But
no, it was a lot. And I actually thought the dress was a little for the age, it was a little much, and it was so dated. I mean, I know it was the 90s, but
that's true.
Yeah, but, definitely, you know, gives you like
she
80s prompt.
James Marsden. I mean, that's cool.
That's fun too, right? The James Marsden, like little baby James Marsden.
Oh, I didn't even realize that. That's funny.
Yes, that was like, I know him.
Going from Fran Fine to Sonic the Hedgehog.
He never gets the girl for
Oh, no, I definitely
27 dresses.
He does.
That's true.
I know, but his girl even kills him in X-Men. Like he really doesn't get the girl there either. She's killing him off. So
in the Notebook.
Oh, yeah, Notebook. Yeah. Oh, so attractive too to not be the actual love interest. What a sad thing.
And actually, a nice person.
Right. Yeah. No, I agree. I'm not. I'm pretty like prudish, I guess you would say. So I'm thirsty online, but it's just a persona, y'all. When it comes to my real life, 6 feet away is pretty much the norm. So maybe it's what it is.
I mean,
I guess I forgot, because I forget that she's 14, because she doesn't, I don't know, she doesn't look older per se, but she also doesn't, I don't know, I'm bad at gauging children's age, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, I kind of forget that she's 14, and then, especially with how repressed she is. It's not like a Fran 14-year-old, you know, where you would kind of expect it and not really think twice about her going out back and kissing some guy. But with this like repressed, really like buttoned up 14-year-old, having one day with Fran gets him kissing some guy out back.
That's what I felt too. Like, there's no way I would be so embarrassed.
She's just, I mean, I love, again, I love that the entire episode just really shows you the difference in culture and their upbringing and background, where it's just so nonchalant to her of like, what? Like, yeah, of course. What are you talking about?
Yes. And so, yeah, so Mr. Sheffield freaks out and he said, you know, and she fires Fran. She says, you know, that if she was my daughter, then she wouldn't be up there crying on what should be a very exciting moment, life moment. And so, yeah, you see that difference. And then you basically have Niles giving him a sandwich and telling him like he was being stupid. Yeah. And you get my favorite, well, this, we get my favorite line from Niles of the whole episode, which we'll talk about that in a minute. But I love when he's like, I drove Miss Babcock home and called Betty Ford. They'll pick her up in the morning. I think that's hilarious. So then we get to Fran's house, apartment. And there's so many things, again, more iconic things, like the fact that that they have Malamars, which are only available in upstate New York. Yeah. I don't know why, or in New England. And I don't know why. They're made by Nabisco. I don't understand why they, like, what? And they are the best cookie. They
You're
are
just like, just give them to the rest of us. Like, come on, Nabisco.
Yeah, so weird. And but they're really, they are quite yummy. And that you get introduced to her mother, played by Renee Taylor.
Yes,
and
oh, yeah,
I love her.
Me too.
She's the best. And also, I just love the plastic on the furniture.
Yes.
Do you guys know anyone who's ever done that? I can't think of anyone in my life that I've ever been to their house and they had plastic furniture.
There was, the I furniture. Did. I did when I was young. I'm trying to remember who it was. It was a family member, but they don't do it anymore. So it was just when I was young, there was plastic on the furniture. That was like, what? Yeah. I mean, that's even more absurd. I don't know. It's pretty absurd because I've also had family members who have the pretty much you're not allowed in here room, like they had like the regular living room that had the TV in it, and then we had the second living room that was just literally, my one aunt had like white carpet, there was so much white, and you just pretty much were not allowed in there, and I'm just like, what's the point of this room, like who cares?
The formal living room,
the formal living room, and I'm just like, oh my gosh, like this, who cares, you all are never in here, why do you have this, buy this furniture to just
I know.
There's a
dust
great
collecting living room.
There's a great bit by Ray Romano where he's talking about that. He says that his mother has a china that is for an occasion that has yet to happen. she's like, there's stuff in my mother's house who they're waiting for the Pope or Tony Danza. That's it.
Tony Danza. I love it.
Yeah, that's actually a really funny comedy routine, whatever, comedy album.
Yeah,
he's like, he talks about his mother will chase you with a Tupperware of food. he's like always stay one step above her, so if you're a little bit hungry, then say you're not hungry at all. If you're a lot hungry, say you're just a little bit hungry. He's like, and if you're not hungry at all, you're gonna have to shoot her. Mrs. Romano, step away from the spaghetti.
It's like my Big Fat Greek Wedding, you know? Yeah. Like, I'm not hungry or I don't eat meat. I give you lamb, you know, kind of thing.
Yeah.
It's like, she's a Tupperware ninja. It's pretty funny. But anyway, yeah, I know. I definitely saw it on my mission when we would go knocking doors or whatever, and you'd see these people's houses, you'd see the special cleaning room.
With this kind of stuff, it's just like, oh my gosh, the heat though, the summers would just be so unbearable with somebody, your parents putting plastic on the couch.
Yeah, and your legs would stick to it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's the worst.
Yes.
And it becomes a thing, a recurring thing through the series, is that her mother is obsessed with food, and she says, your father and I have based our entire relationship around food.
Everything else fades.
Yeah, everything else fades. And I was reading that, I guess, at one point, Renee Taylor had gained like 50 pounds from being on the show.
Oh my God.
Really?
So much. Because,
oh no.
Because whenever you have to eat on set, for anything, you have to eat it like multiple times. Yeah, like, right. I don't think they do that many takes for this kind of show, but nevertheless, like,
every time you're on camera, yeah, you're eating.
Every time you're on camera. And yeah, so it's not even just the one time she's eating it. I mean, it's not a one take show. So yeah, that's why if you watch most scenes in most stuff, when they're actually eating, you'll notice that the people are just kind of moving stuff around the plate.
Yeah.
They're not actually eating. And right, because they end up like throwing up because it's just because they have to just eat.
I was going to say, this show, I mean, sometimes she'll grab it and walk off camera, like she'll, yeah, just throughout the scene. But the problem, I think, is they weren't really allowed to do that much because she's always grabbing like a pastry or, you, yeah, know what I mean? She's always grabbing something small that you could just stick in your mouth right there. Right. So there's no escape for Renee Taylor on the show. That's probably why she gained weight. It was, yeah, always some sort of little thing that she would grab to eat. And as I said, sometimes she would grab a plate and like shuffle away, but she there wasn't much reprieve for her. It wasn't, yeah, plates of food that, right, she could fake it.
And sometimes she'd like steal food from other people were eating, yes, it, and she would grab it from them. Yes. So it becomes a thing, and it's funny. And
I have to say that Sylvia is like my unsung hero of the show. I just, yeah, love Sylvia on this show.
Yes.
And I love it. I just love, like, you know, in one of the later episodes where she just like sticks her head in and I forget what food it is, but she's like, do I smell pastries? And I was like, no, could I? And it just is so good. Like her constantly. And I remember in one later episode, somebody tries to take the food from, oh, Fran, I think, tries to grab something, or they go for this, oh, they go for the same pastry, and her mom, they're just screaming, and her mom's like, I'll kill you! And just like, I think she's so great, and yeah, I love Sylvia throughout the entire show.
She's great. Yeah, really, yeah, funny. And especially once they introduce her mother, the Yetta, played by Anne, yes, Margaret, Anne Morgan.
Oh, so like, good.
She's hilarious.
Oh,
and
man, I
jokes
love
that
her.
You could never get away with now. About, yeah, smoke. We're talking about smoking. You would never do that now. But anyway, and you find out that Brighton has been surprisingly attentive to Maggie.
Yeah, I loved that. When you mentioned the joke earlier, I was like, I love the callback,
yeah,
that we get a little bit later in the episode.
Right. Yeah, and Mr. Sheffield says, you're like nobody else that I've ever met. So that's really, like, again, another theme of the show. So that's the pilot. They really pack quite a bit into a, yeah, little 30-minute pilot, I think.
And I, right, think she gets fired again, doesn't she, in this season? Like, I know for sure she like gets pseudo fired again.
Yeah, I think so.
Because in, yeah, my head, I was thinking, I know at one point, like, Brighton sticks up for her and takes the blame for her. Uh-huh. And it's like a shock. And in my head, I was thinking that's what happened in this pilot, because it's been a while since I've watched it. So I was like, oh no, she got fired for a completely different reason this time. But yeah.
So we're going to do our favorite Fran line and favorite Niles line. But if you want to do just your favorite line, that's fine with me too. You know, but I already kind of said what mine were. But my favorite Fran line is that someday your father's going to be old and sick, and you're going to want him to live with her. I think, and she delivers that so well, and it's just so funny. Yeah, then my favorite Niles line is the Betty Ford line.
Yes, I agree. That's mine.
I agree. Mine too. Oh, Niles is just so good.
And
it brings a whole new spin now that I know he's American. I could just rewatch it.
So, you know? Good. So good. That's the thing, British actors, they can do an American accent like no other, but we struggle. Us Americans, yeah, we struggle to get that Brit accent down, and he just nailed it. Like,
yeah,
this is,
yeah,
maybe one really of the best good cases I've ever seen. Like, it's so good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
especially from Arkansas, he must have already had an accent to contend with to begin. So,
yeah, well, so this was really fun. I really enjoyed talking about this with you guys because I love this show so much. And if you're listening, let us know what you think of this pilot and what you think of the show. and what you think of the podcast, and yeah, we'll go forward. I don't think we necessarily will review every single episode, because that would take us like 5 years. But but we can review a bunch, and it'll be fun. So Larry, how can people follow you?
Yeah, so you can find me on YouTube as well as Twitter and Instagram at LC Screen Talk, as I alluded to earlier. I mainly focus on films, and of course, with all of these shutdowns and theaters closed, I'll be doing a lot of different types of discussions on my channel about films. So it should be fun.
It's going to be really fun. And Colleen, where can people find you on socials and all that fun stuff?
I am on Instagram and on Twitter as Lele44094, Lele44094. And I am not in the movie business or in the movie critic business, but I'm so glad I found you guys, because I love listening to your stuff. But I'm kind of a pop culture freak and music fan and movie fan and TV fan, just about everything. So I'm like a giant, you know, I love these shows. I love the Brady Bunch, but my big music passion is Queen. So I have a variety of interests. Yeah. So.
Oh.
Yeah.
So we'll have all of that in the description section. You can follow me at Rachel's Reviews, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and in Rotten Tomatoes. So check that out. I reviewed the very strange new film Swallow this last week. And so I'm trying to find new films somehow to review. So there's stuff out there. So check that out. And make sure you're following the podcast at Hallmarkies Pod, Hallmarkies Podcast, all of our social media, iTunes, YouTube, and everywhere. If you're listening on iTunes, please leave us your ratings and reviews. And if you're listening on YouTube, please give us a thumbs up and subscribe to the channel. We so appreciate it so much. We have our patron group, which is really fun. Colleen can attest to that.
Yes, it's great.
and it's so needed right now. So please, 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 if you can at all. And then we also have our merch store, which I think I'm going to put some FranCast merch on the merch store. So that'll be exciting. So check it out. Check it out. And we'll have all that in the description section. So thank you guys so much. I really appreciate it. And we will
talk
again next week or in the coming days. So that'll be great. And we'll talk to y'all later. Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.